Well, good morning. Can anybody guess why I'm here and Dusty's not? Dusty doesn't have a voice. He figured he would go one for two today, and this wasn't the one that he's going for. So he asked me to do 9:30 today, and. Oh, he's going to mess with that air conditioner. He's not going anywhere. All of us were made intentionally by God with certain abilities, certain capacities. We were given certain resources whenever we were born. Some of those things we can take credit for, and many of those things we can't. Oftentimes when we talk about what it means to live an abundant life, what it means to be fulfilled in our lives, we start talking about church, and church, unfortunately, at times has kind of co-opted the whole idea of gifting and ability and energy and resources. And we've kind of kept it here inside the concrete blocks. And the problem with that is that the kingdom of God was meant to be exponential. It was not meant to be programmed. I'll try to define that a little bit more for you. When we try to program everything, we end up getting in God's way. But whenever we allow God to work through us and grow His kingdom through us, using all those things that, yes, the church, who the church is, the people in the church who are a part of the kingdom, whenever we allow those things to be fluid in our lives, we allow God to empower us in our use of those things, then the kingdom expands exponentially. But anytime we try to program it and control it and schedule it, we, by definition, limit what God can do. So today, a large part of what I'm going to be sharing with you applies to the church as in the people of God, the kingdom of God, its expression here and now. But I'm not necessarily talking about what goes on inside the four walls or even through the institution of the thing that we call church in our culture. Does that make sense to you? So one of the things that I want to talk about is something that we don't talk a lot about in and among the people of God. It happens, but we don't talk about it a lot. And that is, how does the kingdom of God expand? Boom! Exponentially. One of the things that we rarely talk about when we talk about the kingdom of God growing is the way that we're wired, and a part of that has to do with the things that we get excited about. Now, I'm going to use the word passion to describe that. Let me make some statements. John, pull up that PowerPoint. First of all, you see we're going to talk about the passion factor in finding the sweet spot. Baseball guys, you'll get this, okay? The sweet spot is your calling. And your calling doesn't necessarily have anything to do with vocation. It has to do with God maximizing you and me to grow the kingdom of God. And that has nothing to do necessarily with a job. It has to do with us paying attention to how God's wired us and what He has put on our hearts that make us really be motivated. So let me talk about some things. First of all, you can see the little graphic here. You got three circles in life here. One is what you love. That's your passion. The thing that you get excited about. The thing we'll get there. What you're good at. Sometimes those things coincide. Sometimes they're sort of beside one another like they are in these circles. And then the third one is, what serves the world? Now, obviously, that circle in much of the world is just, in our culture, is left out. It doesn't matter what serves other people. It's a matter of what serves me. So that circle is gone altogether in many ways in our culture. But you can see where all those things come together is the sweet spot. That middle place where everything is working on all cylinders. Everything comes together. And it's almost like it's so good, it's effortless. You don't even have to think about it because God is in the middle of it and you are working in the middle of who He's made you to be and everything's just going the way that He means it to. Now, there's some certain ways that those things can overlap and it doesn't work. You can see we're going to kind of briefly touch on them too. You know, in the middle of what you love and what you're good at, you can end up focusing on yourself and you end up being self-serving. That's not where you want to live. You go to the part that serves the world and what you love and what serves the world, and you can burn out very easily. You can't sustain that because there's no power to keep it going. Or the intersection of what you're good at and what serves the world, you end up lacking the passion that you need. Carry it through. Those things are all kind of underpinning what I'm going to talk about today. One of the passages that I want to start talking about today, and John, you can leave that there because it's not on one of the slides, is a little passage that we often quote, but we kind of quote it, and it means something a little bit different than what we think. Anybody ever heard, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it? That's true, but there's some nuances to that passage that many folks don't catch. Whenever that passage in the original language, in the Hebrew's a very verb-driven language. Now, I'm not going to go into all the nuances of it, but I'm going to tell you, that word, train up a child in the way he should go, that phrase, in the way he should go, really has more to do with the wiring of the kid than it does with principles that you live by. Train up a child according to the way that God wired them. And when they are old, they will not depart from the way that God has put into them. Make sense? The word that's actually in there is kind of funny. It's bents. And here's why they picked that word. Back then, whenever people created weaponry, okay, arrows, bows, and stuff, they would carve that stuff out of a tree. And every tree has a unique growth pattern, a bent to it. And if you try to make that bow, you try to make that piece of armament, and you do it in a way that goes against its bent, you know what happens when you try to use it? It snaps. Okay? It's worthless. Train up a child according to the bents that God has placed in them. And when they're old, they're living in their sweet spot. Make sense? That's one thing, undergirding. The second is another passage that I want to kind of think about. And this is the one that we all know. It's the Great Commission. What is the first phrase of the Great Commission? I know there's more than one version. The first phrase in the Great Commission. Okay. It's actually not go. It's actually as you are going, okay? Now, usually when you and I get up in the morning, we have places to go, right? We have things to do. We have people to see. We have tasks. We have meetings. As you are going, make disciples. That's the governing verb in that phrase. It is make disciples. You do it as you're going. So you're going to do that no matter where you go, no matter what God has done to order your day. As you go, you make disciples. Now, if you put that together with this proverb, train up a child according to his bents, it begins to kind of show a little bit of a different understanding of what would possibly make us able to live that abundant life so that we are living on all cylinders and we are living in that sweet spot where everything works. That's where passion is. Passion is a very important part of that. So let's look at a couple of factors that have to do with passion. That's the next slide. First of all, passion is integrated in our emotions, but it's more than just an emotion. It's not like anger. It's not like love. It's not like hatred. Okay? It's more than that. but it does have the same physical expression in us as those emotions do. Next, when you match passion with a purpose, you end up with ministry. This is how the kingdom of God expands. If there's something that is an interest in your life, you have a passion for something, and then you understand God's purpose for you too, and you can match those two things up, in Gomer Pyle's words, Shazam. You have a ministry. Next thing. The truth is that our passion can either be destructive or it can be exponentially productive. Now, you know, if you or I let our passions get a hold of us and we let them rule us, and it has nothing to do with serving the world and it has nothing to do with seeking God, what can happen to our passions? We can pretty well collapse pretty quickly, can't we? We end up destroying anything we can do that would be for God. But if we can harness our passions, hook it to our ministry purpose, and end up with ministry, we can see God doing something amazing through us that we never expected. So it can be productive, and it can... Here's the deal. Have you ever been around people who want to control what God does? They want God to be in charge, but they want to control what God does. He can only do this. Now, God will always function in agreement with His Word. Never out of sync with His Word. But the reality is, a lot of people want to say, God can do stuff, but He can't. But I don't want Him to do this because I'm not comfortable with it, because I can't control it. Okay. But the issue is, when God is exponentially productive through us, through our passions, as we hook them to His purpose, He's in charge of it. And it means that it's not in any way limited by the four walls. It's not in any way limited by the way we organize ourselves or politize ourselves as a people. It is as big as the kingdom of God, and it has the ability to grow as big as God wants it to grow. We've got to let it go. We have troubles with that. And the last thing is, passion still is essential. Even though it's dangerous and there's a choice to be made, whether passion gets harnessed and hooked to purpose that God gives us, or whether we end up seeking self, the reality is, passion is essential for the kingdom to grow. Got to have it. All right, so what if your own personal ministry perfectly matched your personal passion? That would be living in that zone, that sweet spot zone. Let's look at a couple other passages that have to do with what we're talking about today. First is Psalm 37:4. Very simple. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. That word desires and that word passion, virtually synonymous. Do one, He brings the other. He's wired you a certain way to enjoy certain things, to be excited about certain things. You've had experiences in your life that have had emotions connected to them. And whenever you experience those things and there was a satisfying experience, whatever chemical stuff's going on in your body and your brain, it reinforced, this is good. I like this. This is enjoyable. And every one of us have had unique experiences that create certain connections in our experience that determine what our passions are. Delight yourself in the Lord, first part. He will give you the desires of your heart, the second. He even created the desires of your heart by what He's allowed you to respond to and react to and experience the things that He's developed in you as passions. And the next passage is this, one that you might not think about. Jesus, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And then He turned and He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." And that from Matthew 9:36-38. If you look at these two passages together, they both reinforce the fact that human beings have things that they're passionate about. God being integral in creating those passions. And even Jesus, we see here, as he looked at the brokenness, the hurt that those people experienced, he had compassion. Passion for them, passion with them in what they were experiencing. And it motivated him to turn to his disciples and say, "It's all ready to go, guys." So it was a matter of them matching their passion with his purpose that created then the ministry that created the church that's not stopped yet. Okay. Third foundational verse I want to look at. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. Again, reinforcing that God is at work, creating who we are, the things that we experience that shape then the things that are important to us, our values, the things that excite us, that we're interested in, which then are our passions. Okay. What happens whenever you focus your passion on you? You're selfish. Stephen. Yes. It'll lead to destruction. How does it lead to destruction? Give me an example. Can you think of one? I think of one. This is just one from my experience. Not personal experience, but I'm 52, so I know these guys. You know, Howard Hughes? You ever heard of Howard Hughes? Okay. Had all the money that any one of us could ever want. Okay. But how did Howard Hughes die? Lonely, totally helplessly obsessive compulsive. They said in the long run, he was cordoned off in a little room, had hair down past his shoulders, fingernails, you know, like 6-7 inches long, dirty, grungy, ugly. Had all the resources at his disposal. Okay. He was emotionally ill. No one around him to help him or who would intervene. Okay. So that, you see an example of passion turned inward. Totally collapsed. What's an example of passion turned outward? Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Michael Guido, here from the Metro area. Okay. And hopefully we have many other examples. Those are just the billboard examples. Okay. So if we look at that and we understand passion turned inward, passion turned outward. It's God who's at work in us, giving us the opportunities. Okay. Now let's go to the next screen. Identifying our passion. This is where we're going to kind of camp out a little bit today. We'll come back to it in the end. A couple of things. One thing you want to do is you want to follow the passion clues in your life to find a fulfilling ministry. Whenever I say ministry, I'm not talking about scheduled, planned. I'm talking about making a difference for the kingdom of God. So, who do you know who's sitting among us who could say they follow the passion clues? How do you follow the passion clues? What do you do? Anybody help us? Okay. All right. You find the purpose. Okay. But how do you find your passion? The things that excite you. Energize. Look at Stephen's shirt. All right. Okay. So what does Stephen? What gets Stephen going? Okay. Word of God and art. You go hang out in the other building a little bit. Okay. In those children's classrooms. Okay. What about Dannon? What gets Dannon's motor going? Okay. It's drawing, art. Right. Okay. Watches. There you go. Keeping time. Okay? What revs Jason's motor? Baseball. Okay.
Ooh.
Terry. What drives Terry's motor? And? Dance, creative expression. Okay. All right. What are some others? Serving. Jerry. Children, yes. Okay. So, one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is you try to follow the passion clues. Think in your life about the times when you had experiences where you were reinforced and you said, this is awesome. This is great. Because when you had that experience, I know this is silly, but there was a chemical reaction that took place in your brain that said, don't forget this. Remember this. This is significant. And then you had another experience at some point doing something that then something else happened and that chemical response kicked in again. And it said, hey, remember that? And then you begin to put together those experiences. And after a while, what happens is you find that you have developed a passion. Some of that we get because of who God puts in our lives and the experiences that we face. You know, whenever somebody goes through something that's awful, and then God allows them to grow through it, and then He uses them to then minister to other people, that becomes a passion for some people. They find that through the hardship and the pain and the suffering and the agony and the grief, God gives them a way to minister. It's not that those things were good or that they were even welcomed. It's that God was with them through it, and He But at the end of that, there was that release of chemical. God used them to minister to somebody else, and then it built and it built and it built. And then God put the passion with His purpose, and it became ministry, and the kingdom grew. No one sat around in a meeting and said, you know, I think we need somebody to do this. Because that will never, ever grow the kingdom. It'll build a building, it'll fill pews with backsides, but it won't grow the kingdom. So what I want you to do, I want you to be thinking about those things that have reaffirmed you. Whenever something good has happened, things that have built your interest in things. You know, I remember my dad playing catch with me when I was a kid, or he'd throw the football with me when I was a kid. So sports played a big part in my life. Then whenever I got into, you know, playing ball in Little League and stuff, and, you know, people choosing me to be, you know, on some all-star team, or people would come and tell me they want me to be on their team. All those things reaffirmed in my life and now have become a passion for coaching. And so whenever I get to do it, I'm living in the sweet spot. We have to realize that this is not static, it is dynamic. That we're not done yet. That every experience builds upon another experience when God affirms or reaffirms things in our lives. Things that we've enjoyed doing, we like to do, we find that we... I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in a few minutes that will hopefully help you kind of think about what is it that He's talking about. Let me go to the next point here. One of the things you want to do is you want to list times when you have felt God's passion. When you felt like God was in the middle of what you're doing and it's clicked and it worked and something happened and you were a part of it and you saw that happen again. Maybe again. What was that thing? What was that experience? What was going on? What were you doing? What was your investment? How was God using you? You want to think about listing those times. If you're trying to identify what you're passionate about. Now some of us are sitting here, we know what we're passionate about. We don't have to think about it. We know what God has done in our lives, and we know what we're passionate about. Between sports and teaching, those two things, I know. Okay. All right, third one. Focus on experiences that energize you. You did something, and you just, instead of being tired at the end of it, it was like, you're ready to go. You're ready to move on to the next thing. Okay. Is that the last one on that one? One more? So those are the kind of things you want to be thinking about when you're trying to identify your passion. Let's talk about the sweet spot for a minute. And what I mean when I talk about sweet spot. When I use that expression, what I'm trying to get you to think of is, this is what you were made to do. You feel like this is it. And here's what happens. It is that abundant life. Not only does it feel good for you, but you see fruit from what's going on. What you're investing yourself in, you see it working. You see things happening because God is at work in you. And it's not that you don't get tired. You still get tired, but it's like a tired where you go, "Oh, isn't this great?" Because you know God's been at work in you, through you. Okay. So that's what I mean when I talk about sweet spot. Let me talk about what can happen with that sweet spot for a few minutes. Flip it to the next slide. One of the things that you have to realize is that living in that sweet spot is really finding a balance. The truth is, God has built these abilities, these skills, these passions within us, but then there are challenges to use and implement those things. That was one of the things that Regina's talking about. Sometimes we want to get way too cognitive and we lean towards the skill part, and what happens is when we don't focus on the practice and implementing the passion, we get bored because all we're doing is playing with it in our heads, okay? So we get bored of it because we're not really doing anything. The other thing is you've got the challenge part. And whenever the challenge is high and yet our skill is low, we find that we can't really do what we want to do. We're not ready yet. But if we see that the challenge part goes high, sometimes we can get too anxious about things, right? We have to be challenged in order to grow, right? We don't grow without getting challenged. But the problem is if our challenge exceeds our ability or our skill or our passion, then we get overwhelmed and we wear out. We get afraid, right? I'm in over my head. You ever had that feeling? I want to do this. This is what I want to do, but I'm in over my head. So what happens is you need people in your life who will help you take the next step. Whenever you're talking about baseball camp years ago, and you talked to Dusty, what was the first thing that he told you to do? Can you remember? Pray about it was the first thing. Okay. What about number two? Do you remember? I do. Find other people who have the same passion that you do. Okay? So pray about it. Find out God's time. Then find other people who share the same passion. Because you can, if you try to step out, let's say you just decided, I'm going to do a baseball camp next week. Or in a month. And you hadn't done any of that, you could have felt very easily that anxiety. You would have been in over your head because you would have been all alone. You would have, you know, and you're trying to pull all this stuff together by yourself. And so you end up with that high challenge, overwhelmed. So you got to have balance. You want to live in that sweet spot where you want to have your passion, your ability, your skill match the challenge as it develops, as it grows, like Regina said. So you have a first step, which leads to a second step, to a third, and then you find that all along you're growing and everything's moving exponentially. You don't go from 0 to 60. It's a matter of it grows dynamically as you work through and you're following God's leadership in your life. Does all that make sense? Okay. One more little diagram, and then I'm going to let you talk. Here's what happens whenever all this stuff doesn't stay balanced. Let's say you've got all the abilities, all the skills, but yet you're not being challenged. In that case, you've got predictable plotting. You never get anywhere. You're trying to plan, you're trying to plan, you're trying to plan. You never implement it. So you end up just getting bored because you're just plodding along through what's going on. The other option is you never do anything, and that's where you get vegetative. It's all academic. You never get anything done. Okay, it's one of those where you say you're going to pray, but you never really pray. Peak performance. Obviously, that's whenever the challenge and the skill and the ability and the passions are all working together. And then the last is that crisis response, where you have more challenge than you have passion, more challenge than you have ability. And you're not there yet. Just a different way to look at it. And where you want to live is in that sweet spot. Now, what's a sweet spot? You ever looked at a tennis racket or a baseball bat? It is where that bat, if you hit that ball on that bat, it's the place where it will have the maximum amount of impact and force that will send the ball away from the bat. It's on that tennis racket, when it hits in the right place, it goes more quickly or will go how you want it to go, whether it's you're putting spin on the ball or whatever, that it does it perfectly according to what you're trying to do. And that's exactly what you could say we're talking about when we talk about mashing passion to purpose and making ministry. So here's the things that will help us nail down what it is that's our passion. What is it that's our interest? What is it that we need to hook to purpose to create ministry? First thing is, what do you love to do? What is it that you just love to do? Then no one has to tell you to go do it. You just do it. What do you love to do? I'm still trying to figure out how to make a ministry out of reading the news. I read every day a lot. Virginia will tell you that. Secondly, what makes you forget to eat? What do you do? And you're doing it, and then, you know, somebody comes along and says, "Did you eat?" And you go, "Well, no." What was it you were doing that you'll just, because you're in it, and you don't even eat because you're doing it. I can always make myself feel real good whenever I remember Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of my Father," you know, kind of thing. So what is it that you get so involved in that you can actually forget to eat? Number three, what does your mind wander to? Before you go to bed, or as you're going to bed, what are the things that your brain recites before you go to sleep? Or if you're just sitting around, what are you thinking about? Unprompted. Number four, what excites you? Whenever you have a conversation with somebody, what is it that they will hear excitement come through your voice when you talk about? What is your dream? Maybe from the time you were younger, or maybe just from the last 2 or 3 years or 2 or 3 months, what is it that you would say, "I've always wanted to," and you finish the sentence. All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a couple of minutes, and if you got a pen, jot them down. If you don't have a pen, try to come up with the best mental list you can. And I want you to talk with 2 or 3 people around you. And I want you to talk through some of the experiences that you've had that you think have caused you to have certain interests or passions about things. What are some of those stories that are hitched to your experience? And I want you to share those stories, because stories are powerful. Because we're talking about how God has instilled in us something He wants to use. And hopefully that'll help us prayerfully move to the next step whenever we start to hitch that passion to the other resources that God's given to us. And we're going to talk about those in the next couple of weeks. All right, do you understand what I want you to do? You can look at those questions right there, or you can think about experiences you've had that have shaped your interests and the things that you get excited about. Okay? And then you're going to share with 2 or 3 other people before you go. All right? Okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do the planning, and then I'm going to give you the rest of the time we got to do the discussion. We've got about 10. So we'll finish at 10:35. You've got 5 minutes to plan and then 10 minutes to talk. Okay? Okay, let me kind of bring it back for just a second. I'm sure that you've heard some really interesting stories, good stories, and I hope you've encouraged one another with those. What I really want you to focus on is that whatever passions that God has allowed you to develop in your life, that the key is you not try to find a way to make it fit. You find a way for God to use it wherever that is. And it doesn't have to just be here. It could be there, but we are with you. That makes sense? Because the church's purpose is not to build up an organization or a building. It's to expand the kingdom of God. And the only way that the kingdom of God really grows is whenever the people of God get outside and get into the world and let people see Jesus. And the way He does that many times is as we find ways to implement and put our passions into His purpose, which is ministry. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as You are helping us today to focus on the way You've wired us, the things that You've allowed us to enjoy doing, the abilities that we have that we can give away, Lord, the things that we stay up late at night talking about and thinking about, that, Lord, we would understand that those are opportunities. And, Lord, I pray that we would submit ourselves to You in whatever process You have for us so that we can find a way to hitch what we're excited about and enthusiastic about to Your purpose, and that we'll see You're taking us to places that we've never been before. You're inviting us and introducing us to be with people that we've never been able to think we could possibly be with or hang out before, because You are expanding Your kingdom, and that people will see the grace and the mercy and the peace of the living God, of the Spirit of Jesus that's living in us, that, Lord, we will take that into the world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.